We used to sing a song many years ago. I know it's sung still. You know, reach out and touch the Lord as he passed us by. Remember that song?
Yeah.
Yeah? Reach out and touch the Lord. Yeah? Some of you will know it. Well, you know, in a meeting, it's like that. You know, sometimes the Lord is passing by. And when he passes by, that's the time to reach out and touch him. When you feel the Spirit of God move, reach out, get something from him.
God bless Ben, Lord. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, John. This isn't a full preach. This is just a short sharing, what I was going to share last week. But before I do that, if I can find, I'll just gonna say I'm not on WhatsApp at the moment, so because my phone died, so I've got an old, resurrected an old phone of Louise's. I'm quite liking it, actually. It's quite nice, these old simple phones. I can do Signal on my iPad, which is mysterious, but I'll swap the SIM card into this. Anyway. I had a verse in the week from a hymn, and I looked up the hymn this morning because the tune swam into my mind, and I realised it's because of the verse. How firm a foundation. Some of you may know the hymn. But I just wanted to share a couple of the verses that just blessed me this morning before I share the that kind of theme for this year. Verse 3, it says, in every condition, in sickness, in health, in poverty's veil, or abounding in wealth, at home and abroad, on the land, on the sea, as your days may demand, shall your strength ever be. When through the deep waters he calls you to go, the rivers of grief shall not you overflow. For he will be with you in trouble to bless, and sanctify to you your deepest distress. When through fiery trials your pathway shall lie, his grace, all-sufficient, will be your supply. The flame shall not hurt you, his only design, your dross to consume and your gold to refine. And then the last verse, the soul that on Jesus has lent for repose, he will not desert to its foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. So there's a glorious hymn there, if you don't know it. It's How Firm a Foundation. This was the theme for last year. I don't know if you're aware that this was the theme, but it was expansion. And in lots of ways, actually, looking back, yes, not necessarily the most obvious, God has expanded us. One of the things that occurs to me is that we've become part of the CAP partnership. So the six churches supporting CAP, which is just kind of in its inception stage. And incidentally, on that point, don't think I've said this, that Liddy Blunden, who's the CAP manager, is wondering whether each church can provide at least two people who would like to be befrienders, so who would like to go around with someone and be involved in CAP. So you need to have a little bit of spare time during the week. And if you'd like to do that, I can send you kind of like a form with a bit more detail on about what that would entail. I think they do some training and things for that. But God has expanded us, I'm sure, in so many ways this year, this last year. So we're on to 2023, and I just want to share what the theme is, and I just want to explain where it came from, essentially, and then we'll open out. I don't think John's coming back up. We'll just open out into ministry, or a song, and then ministry. So we had some great prophetic words last week, and God's continued to speak to me, and I have to say I'm feeling a new level of faith for prayer and to ask for things, boldness to ask for things that I thought, well, maybe they won't happen, so I won't ask for them. But God's given me an increased boldness, and we were talking about that a little bit in our life group. And the thing about prophetic words is that we have to do something with them. It's a bit like John was saying, as God's passing by, we need to reach out. So if something has already spoken to you through the prophetic word from last week, do something about it in order to see it realized. I'm still, Jackie's word about the lost property box, in several different ways God's been speaking to me about that. I had someone message me who was in my university, so we're going back a few years now, believe it or not, and he messaged me and he said to me, oh, I've been meaning to tell you for 20 years, he said, you shared a poem that you wrote with me at university, and he named the poem, and I knew which one he meant. He said, and it's had a remarkable impact on me, on my life, and when I was at university, I firmly believed, in the way that you do when you're young, that I was called to be a great poet and that I was going to make my mark as a poet. But actually, maybe God does want me to do something with poetry. So I was encouraged, you know, and that those kind of things. It just came out of the blue. And I'm meeting up with him on Zoom this week because he wants to use it somehow. He's a film producer in New York now. So he's quite interesting, you know. Who knows? So this year, our theme, and this is where this doesn't work... Okay, a secure hold is our theme for this year. And I'm going to share where this comes from, but a secure hold for 2023. So I'll take you back. So I stumbled across this verse and I shared it with our leadership with John and Hanley a few months ago. And then we revisited this and we felt, yeah, this is right. If you can take us on, Hanley, to the next slide. This is from Ezra 9, and we're just going to beat up. The verse is verse 8. Ezra 9, verse 8 is where this comes from. After these things have been done, the officials approached me and said, "The people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the land with their abominations, from the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. For they have taken some of their daughters to be wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy race has mixed itself with the peoples of the lands. And in this faithlessness, the hand of the officials and chief men has been foremost." This is Ezra speaking. "As soon as I saw this, heard this, I tore my garment and my cloak. I pulled hair from my head and beard and sat appalled. Then all who trembled at the words of the God of Israel, because of the faithlessness of the returned exiles, gathered around me while I sat appalled until the evening sacrifice." Thanks, Ali. "And at the evening sacrifice, I rose from my fasting with my garment and my cloak torn. I fell upon my knees. I spread out my hands to the Lord my God, saying, 'Oh my God, I'm ashamed and blush to lift my face to you, my God. Our iniquities have risen higher than our heads. Our guilt has mounted up to the heavens. For from the days of our fathers to this day, we've been in great guilt. And for our iniquities, we, our kings and our priests, have been given into the hand of the kings of the lands, to the sword, to captivity, to plundering, and to utter shame, as it is today. But now, here we are, for a brief moment, favor has been shown by the Lord our God to leave us a remnant and to give us a secure hold within his holy place, that our God may brighten our eyes and grant us a little reviving in our slavery." Just the next little bit as well. "For we are slaves," these are the Israelites in exile, "yet our God has not forsaken us in our slavery, but has extended to us his steadfast love before the kings of Persia, to grant us some reviving, to set up the house of our God, to repair its ruins, to give us protection in Judea and Jerusalem." Now, I just want to emphasize that these annual themes that we're having, we're seeking God for them. They're not just, oh, let's do that this year. Let's do this year. This is something prophetic about this. So we believe that there is something prophetic about having a secure hold in God's presence. This is actually the ESV translation. I want to draw your attention to that because I looked through the translations and you'll see why. Because if you go, I don't know if you're in NIV or New King James or something like that, it says something like, "Give us a peg in his holy place." Yeah, and initially you think, what? Give us a peg? What's that all about? But actually, there's something about that, because a peg, like a tent peg, keeps you firm, keeps you secure. A well-driven peg means that your tent's not going to blow away. In Zechariah 10:4, it says that, that's our picture again, just to remind us. In Zechariah 10:4, in the next slide, "For from him comes the cornerstone, from him the tent peg, from him the battle bow, from him every ruler together." So God's giving us the secure hold. We can't achieve hold in God's holy place. We've got no right of ourselves to come in. But of course, through Jesus, he lets us into the holy place. I was struck, I don't know if you noticed on the news a week or so ago, it talked about the Jews trying to get to the Temple Mount and try to walk to the Temple Mount, which of course is occupied by a mosque at the moment, and so they're not supposed to go there. But the Orthodox Jews say to devout Jews, not necessarily Christians, obviously, they say to them, don't go there because you might, by mistake, walk over the Holy of Holies. And wouldn't that be awful? Because you're not supposed to be in the Holy of Holies. And you can understand from the point of view of an Orthodox Jew, you certainly wouldn't want to transgress, would you, into that holy place where you'd die if you went in there not being cleansed. But of course, as Christians, we don't believe that. The way to the holy place is open, so we can come into the holy place. And it's not easy to be in the presence of God, but that's what we believe, that God's calling us to spend time in his presence, just be in his presence this year, and just to be blessed in his presence, to be secure in it, to be confident. So some of you, for this year, you might think, actually, I'm not sure how confident I am that I can come into God's presence, and God's actually going to increase your confidence and your experience of the presence of God this year. That's what we're believing. And also, it gives us, we're going to get miracles, because when you're in the presence of God, you get miracles. And there's a verse, Hannah, if you can move on to the Habakkuk one. Habakkuk 3:2. Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. This is a revival verse. This is a revival theme. We're going to ask God for revival this year, to revive us and to awaken us. We had that word, didn't we? Heather reinforced it, and Chris Cartwright mentioned it, about awakening. It was one of the four Elim words. Nearly done here. But I just want to draw in another reference, Martin. I don't know if you said it on a Sunday. I missed it on a Sunday or so. Apologies, I must have nodded off. But you shared at the prayer meeting as well about getting the real Jesus. He'd had a word about us seeing the real Jesus this year. And it's in the presence of God that we see him. And what's interesting about this passage, and obviously I'm not preaching through this passage in Ezra, but if you read through to the end of the prayer, Ezra's not making any requests here. He's just confessing, obviously, because he's appalled by the kind of lax standards and by the kind of the idolatry, really, in Israelites' hearts. But he's just confessing, and he's adoring, and he's declaring who God is. And I think that's part of us focus for this year. We're not coming to God because we want anything from him. We're just coming to God because we love him and because we want to be in his presence. It's like the picture, which in a moment it will be on the slide, of the hug. It's basically the father hugging the prodigal son. It's a sculpture of it in the background of that phrase, a secure hold. We're just coming to him for a hug. That's all we're doing. We're in the presence of God, and we want to love him and receive his love. Chris Cartwright, in his message that we heard, he's our general superintendent for Elim, said that it's about tenderness, not triumphalism. It's about gently being in the presence of God. And we've increased in regular prayer sharing on Signal, certainly since COVID. But are we caring more and sharing more with each other? And so I just believe God's got more of that for us this year. You know, whether that's through going to a different group and getting more regular input. That might be the Mark Bible study. It might be mission prayer. It could be joining a life group. It might just be saying, well, you know what? I'm going to just make sure I'm always there on a Sunday because I just don't want to miss what God's got for us. Just being together more. And I was struck by this quote, Hanley, if you can put that quote up, from Gunnar Gunderson, who I've never heard of, by the way. I don't know who he is. But I think this was a Facebook quote. But it says, healthy churches don't typically grow by leaps and bounds through splashy initiatives and clever strategies. They grow like trees, slow, steady, strong, with small but certain rings to show for each passing year of faithful collective ministry. I was just encouraged by that, because when you look back, you might think, oh, I'm just hanging on in there. I'm just kind of coming, but I'm really on the edge of church, or I don't think I contribute anything, but I just come. But actually, when we look back, and certainly when we look back from eternity, we will see what God has done through the things that we've said, through the things that we've prayed, through the small acts of service that we've done. We will be awesomely blessed by it. And God, you know, you're not just hanging on in there. I want to encourage you. You've got a secure hold. You've got a secure hold in the body of Christ. And this is encouraging when you think every year of faithful collective ministry, whatever it is, lunch club, putting out the chairs, whatever your little part is in the body of Christ. And all of us, our parts to play are important. So I think that's it. I'm just going to pray briefly. Lord, I thank you for this this theme, Lord. Thank you for this word you've given us, a secure hold in your holy place, Lord, a measure of revival, Father. And we speak out a measure of revival over 2023, Lord God. And we just ask that you'll bless the saints, Lord. Help us to hear you. Help us to obey you, Father. Increase our love for you. Increase our experience of your love. We cannot get to the bottom of it, Lord. We cannot see over your love. It is vast and nothing will separate us from your love. So thank you for that, Jesus. Bless us now. Continue to speak to us, we pray this morning. Amen.
I got a picture earlier of a Swiss Rolex watch. And inside there's many cogs and each cog is important. And if you're missing one cog, it doesn't work. And Charlotte, I think you sometimes find you're missing a cog, or you think you're not important, but you are. You're very important to what God's got for you. And he's got something really special for you this year.
Amen.
How do we know he loves us? Bible tells me so. No, he loves us, and we know he loves us because he looks after us every day, every day. Every day, every moment of every day, he's got our future planned out. He knows just exactly where we need to be and when we need to be there. He knows everything there is to know about us. He loves us. He knows how many hairs on our head. Well, some of us are losing some of it. But he knows. He knows. And I've been, this year, learning about God's kindness as well. And he is very kind. Love is kind. It says in Corinthians 13 and Ephesians 3, be kind to one another. Was it 4:32? Be kind to one another. And before Christmas, about 3 weeks before Christmas, I was kept up through the night with a raging toothache. Paracetamol, ibuprofen, raging toothache. And in the morning, I thought, I'm going to ring the dentist. I've got to ring the dentist. And I could feel what I thought was a cavity in my tooth. So I rang the dentist and explained my situation. And the receptionist said, can you come in at 1:55 today? I said, yes, I can. Any time today, please. So I went in. And I was expecting for the dentist to say, oh yes, I can see a cavity, let's fill it up, get it sorted. But she didn't. She said, oh dear me, we have a big problem. There's infection and all sorts. It's not very nice. So, cut the long story short, she extracted the tooth, which was a bit of a shock to me. It was a big one. But she took the tooth out. And told me, obviously, what to do following an extraction, etc. And over the next few days, I was waiting for the pain to subside and for, you know, doing all the things that you're meant to do. And that was on the Thursday morning. That's right, that was a Wednesday I rang, and they gave me an appointment Thursday, beg your pardon, Thursday morning. The following week, on the Tuesday, I was still having quite a lot of discomfort, and I thought, this isn't right, something's wrong here. And I thought, oh, I'll leave it till Thursday morning, which is a week after the extraction. It might have settled down by then. And I just said to the Lord, this is what I'm going to do. Bless it for me, please. Help, help, help. Take away this pain. Anyway, that was Tuesday afternoon. I said that to the Lord. Wednesday morning, I was up and still in discomfort. The phone rang, and it was the dentist. And they wanted to know how I was doing, which is very nice. So I said, well, actually, I've still got quite a bit of discomfort. Do you want to come in? Not really, but yes, please. that was a Wednesday. So she said, can you come in for about 2 o'clock? Yes, I'll come in at 2 o'clock. I get there at 2 o'clock. There's hardly anybody around. That's very nice. I get good attention. Anyway, she has a good look. And she said, oh, I see what's happened. Blood clots come out. and bits of food have gotten in there and it's causing the irritation. So she cleaned it all out and packed it all up with stuff and made it all better. Thank you, Lord. And I said, you weren't going to give me antibiotics? No, she said. I said, good. I said, because on Friday it's our 50th wedding anniversary and I want to be able to drink a glass of champagne. I don't want to be on antibiotics, thank you. So she said, oh, well, congratulations. And then she stopped and she said, actually, it's my wedding anniversary today. She said, I've forgotten all about it. And I said, oh, you're going out for this evening? She said, oh, she said, I'm flying out to India tonight to see my brother for my brother's wedding next week. I said, oh, how wonderful, have a lovely trip. And then I realised, if I'd left it till Thursday to ring the dentist, she'd have been gone. God arranged for the dentist to call me on that Wednesday morning. The kindness of God. Amazing. The love of God. Let's proclaim it more. We see it loads and loads and loads of times. But let's proclaim it more. Declare it and share the good news. Jesus is the God of love and his kindness itself.
I just wanted to share something quick. Last night we were at the Aaron Angels. But it was very quiet, so we were only out for just over an hour. But we were about to go and head home even earlier. But I was listening to Jesus and I stopped and I thought, God, where do you want us to go? And we were, and then God sent me this very, he said, go down the back end of Morrison's. And we were quite far away from Morrison's, weren't we? We were down by, does anyone know where the Lamb is? Middle or Bognor? Very hidden away. Were we there? Somewhere like that. And it was like right the way across town. So I was like, right, okay, we got to go. And as we were walking and we went through the back end of Morrison's, and as we got to one of the charity shops, there was a homeless person there who we'd missed. So we were able to, they were asleep. So we left them a love gift, didn't we? Of food, drink and gloves and things. So, yeah, it was just really cool. Like, the way God talks to us is just amazing. Thank you, guys. Cheers.
Not many of you will remember back in the 50s.
Oh, I remember it well.
In your dreams, Toby. But I was at school and used to be at home at lunchtimes occasionally, and the comedians would come on the radio. This is before television in our house. And there was a guy who would turn up and he would say, I'll not take my coat off, I'm not stopping. And when Ben was talking about our secure hold and he mentioned the peg, for me that was a clothes peg or a coat peg. And it's our coat peg in the throne room. And the challenge is not to turn up and say, I'll not take my coat off, I'm not stopping. But to actually find your coat peg, take your coat off, hang your coat up, and settle in. That's it.
I had a picture while we were worshipping of... it's not a nice picture in some ways. And I thought, this is not just for me. This is for somebody else here. There are times when... And it's all about coming into the presence of God, which we want to do more and more. But sometimes, because of all the stuff that's going on in our heads, I had this picture that what I was giving to God was like a dirty rag. This is all I've got, God. This, with all my junk and all my horrible thoughts and all the rest of it. But as I was looking at this rag, suddenly there was a little gold nugget just in the middle of it. And it was like, whatever tiny bit of worship there is in you, That's what I see. I don't see the dirty rag. I don't see all that stuff that goes round your head all the time. I see that. And what happened was, as I was looking at it, that gold nugget, apart from getting bigger, it was hot and it was burning away the dirty rag. So there's a two-way thing coming into worship. It's he can see the very heart of you, whoever you are, that you think you haven't got that worship in you, but you have. The mere fact you're here, the mere fact that it makes your heart ache, that you haven't got enough to give him, it means he sees that little gold nugget and it will burn away as you stay and hang your coat up and stay with him. It will burn away that what you think is a dirty rag. Anyway, yeah.
Okay. I believe that when I open the Bible in the morning, God's going to speak to me, and he does. Because the word that stuck in my head was compassion. That was what Beryl also spoke about, just the kindness of God. Is that Jesus was walking, and we will be probably reading this in the next few weeks because it's Mark. It bursts onto the scene like a whirlwind. If you open Mark, you know, you read a few verses and you're halfway through the ministry of Jesus. It's so quick, but it's so great. And all that busyness, it says, moved with compassion, Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I'm willing, he told him, be made clean. There's a few things here first that you got to notice. First of all, he's talking about a leper who approached him and says, please heal me, Lord, can you cleanse me? The first thing Jesus did was he reached out his hand and touched him, which was a complete no-no. You know, people who were lepers, by the law, had to be quarantined, and that was because it's, you know, there was no treatment for it like we have now. Leprosy in those days did involve a lot of skin diseases, but you know, the way we understand it, a lot of that was incurable. So Jesus reached out and touched him with compassion. You believe that you're untouchable, that you're ostracized, that you're separated from society. Jesus has compassion. Blinking on and off. And just need to find the next piece. I forgot to bring my Bible today and I forgot to just go back. Got to go back to the peg. In another version it says stake. So it's a 10 peg. It's the remnant coming back from exile. And they've just started, you know, they've got the temple going and they've got the walls, you know, planned to build. And so it was just a very, very small remnant back. And the prayer says, you know, you've given us a stake. Now, if you put in a good stake in the ground and the wind is blowing a gale, you can secure your tent to it and you can secure, you know, you can start the process of putting up the rest of it. I think if we got that feeling, and this is often my feeling, is I'm holding on by the skin of my teeth, but the peg is secure in the ground, the stake. Let's believe that God's given us a firm hold. And even if we're holding on, just holding on to those promises. That's the next bit I wanted to just come to, if I can find it. I think I've lost it. Had it all lined up. 2 Corinthians 1:20. Maybe somebody can get it before I can. In him all his promises are yes. That's what I wanted to say. The promises are yes. And if we go on a few more verses, it goes, and he's given us the Holy Spirit as a down payment. There's a peg. In heaven, there's a down payment for what we're going to receive. So I think, please just look that one up. And finally, and I hope I can find this, because I wanted to read these words out. It came back to me that I've been praying this prayer for years for my children, and lately it's been also other young people in our families, in our church, and in our society. And I'm holding on to that peg for this year. I'm going to keep praying that. And this is Isaiah 44. For I will pour water on the thirsty land and streams on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your descendants and my blessing on your offspring. They will sprout amongst the grass like poplars by flowing streams. This one will say, I am the Lord's. Another will use the name of Jacob. Still another will write on his hand, the Lord's, and take on the name of Israel. Lord, we pray for our offspring, our descendants, our young people, the next generation now. We remind you of this promise, and we remind you that in you we have a down payment on our inheritance. In you all the promises are yes. Lord, answer our prayers, hear our prayers, in Jesus' name.
I just want to use the opportunity to let you all guys know, as we all sit here tomorrow, one of our cousins back home is making the transition to her eternal home. And I just think we, each and every one of us, as we sit here, are so blessed knowing that even in the uncertain times, that in the times of heartache and sadness, that we are secure in his hold and secure in his love. And I always remember, I worked in oncology for many years, and the patients always, when we sort of hit that last place where, you know, you need to make that transition, they would ask, but, you know, should I be scared? What's waiting? I'm a Christian, I know, but I'm still scared. I don't know. How do I let go? I would often say to them, you know what, the only way that I ever understood and how the Lord sort of explained it to me was, I don't know if you guys ever played with your parents when you were small and you're like, stand up on a high cupboard or whatever, and you say, catch me, daddy. And I believe for me, a passing over would be that, just standing on top of that cupboard and catch and jumping, having the full trust that he's going to catch you, you know. And I thank God that this morning Charlotte, when she jumps, that he will catch her and that he will keep her safe. And I am so thankful that I know in my heart of hearts that she's ready, and that she lived a good life and she served him, and I think she's excited to go over. So sorry that I'm emotional about it. It's normal, it's human. But I also find peace in the song this morning that Rianne would often sing to me when I don't feel so well, and I shared it with you guys when we had our worship or prayer meeting on Tuesday. It just says, and perhaps one of you guys know it, you're my resting place, in your arms I'm safe, and you let me know that you are in control. And I thank God for being in control. So this year, whatever comes your way, even in those uncertain moments, in those times when we don't know, and we don't really even, we can't even anticipate what's going to happen, just know that he's there. He's there to catch each and every one of us, regardless of how uncertain we might feel in our humanness. He's supernatural, and his love for us is just so amazing. And it will always be our guide. Thank you.
I'm going to ask the band to come back in a moment. We'll finish the meeting up. I just want to say, first of all, by way of confirmation, it's very exciting, really. I was reading in Ezra early last week, and I was reading chapter 9, and I got to that verse, and that word peg really spoke to me. You know, it really did. It really caught my spirit. And we were at the musicians' prayer thing last week, weren't we? Was it Tuesday, Wednesday? Tuesday?
Tuesday.
And I actually saw a picture of a peg, and I had it for someone that was in that that meeting, if you remember. And so I knew that God was talking about pegs. And I had no idea what Ben was coming out with this morning, you know, but I just want to testify to that is God speaking about the peg. Mm. You know, we have a peg in the holy place. Mm. Hallelujah. And the only other thought I just had was, you know, when your parents, sometimes you go into little kids' schools, don't you? Mm. You know, when they're infants, little diddy ones. And every peg has got a name. You know, later on, I don't know whether they do that in senior school, but every little, you know, it's Joanne and Billy and all the rest of it. And it's rather sweet and cute. And God was saying, you know, that's like you. You've got, you know, picking up all some art. I said, you've got a peg in heaven. It's got your name on it. Mm. Your name is written in heaven. Mm. Hallelujah. Your peg's in heaven. Mm. You're so secure. You're so secure. When you get to glory, your name will be there. Hallelujah, your name is there already. You've got your peg. You can hang on to that. You're secure. He will catch you. Hallelujah. Let's praise the Lord. Toby.